know that he's got great things for you. It is Communion Sunday, and I want to give you a moment to grab your elements. For me, it is a wafer and juice. For you, it could be gluten-free bread and lemonade. I don't know, but whatever you have, take it. We're going to take communion together. We do this once a month at our church just to remember the Lord's death and what he's done for us, and helps us identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's why he came, to die for you, so that you can be forgiven of your sins and so that you can have a relationship with him again. And what a relationship it is. What a relationship. Remember, he came for you. But God demonstrated his own love in this. So while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he died for you, has a plan for your life, and today we celebrate his resurrection. And so as we get our wafer out, or our bread out, I want you to hold that bread up, and we're going to pray. Father, we just thank you for your body that was broken for us. We do it in remembrance of what you've done for us so that we can be healed. Thank you, God, that you died so that we can be whole in every area of our life, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Thank you, God, for your gift of salvation in your son, Jesus, because he is sufficient. The sacrifice was well worth it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the bread. The Bible says that in the same manner he took the cup, and the cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, who cleanses us, makes us righteous, and that if we do have sin, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God that we have a Savior who died for us, and he's our advocate, and that he makes us righteous because of his blood. His blood is sufficient today. So let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for this cup that represents your blood. We remember it as being all sufficient for us. Sacrifice was final. It was eternal. It was enough. And that by this blood, we know that there's no remissions of sins. And I thank you, God, that the blood was sufficient. And in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take the cup. Father, we just thank you so much for this time you've given us today. And as we get ready to go into the message, I pray that you would be glorified. Open hearts to receive, open ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Give people revelation knowledge of who you are so that they in turn can be changed and also go out and live the life that you've called them to live, because they are worthy. You've counted them as worthy because of the sacrifice of your Son, in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we go into the book of Colossians today, we're excited about this book because we feel that it's going to help you understand the heritage that you have as a child of God, and that what you're entitled to as a Christian, because you are entitled to the blessings of God because of what Jesus Christ has done. And the theme of this book is really the sufficiency of Christ. He is all sufficient, and he is enough. He is enough, just like you're enough. And so we're going to pick it up in the book of Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9, and it says this. It says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." This is Paul's writing. "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." This is God's heart for you. "Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." What an exciting portion of scripture. God has qualified you. There are things that he has made you worthy to receive today because of his Son. And you stand in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus today because of his sacrifice. And Paul is writing and letting them know some key points here. Number one, understanding the knowledge of God's will. And so God wants you to know and understand what his will is. He says the knowledge of his will. God has a will for you, a plan and a purpose for you specifically, not just as a body of Christ, but for you specifically. What does he have for you? And this happens through the transformation of our mind. The book of Romans talks about being transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can understand what God's will is, his good, acceptable, and perfect will, his perfect will for you. There's a set of boundaries that God has called you to live in where you're going to find blessing. And God says, I want you to find out what those boundaries are so that you can find my blessing. I'm not going to let you live any way that you want to live and expect to be blessed. That's not how it works. I'm not going to allow you to abuse my grace, but I am going to give you the grace that you need to live effectively to where I placed you so that you can grow and bear fruit. The knowledge of my will. So many of us are trying to understand what God's will is. And in order for us to understand what God's will is, we have to develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit first and foremost, because he is the one who knows the mind of God. And once we begin to develop the relationship with the Holy Spirit, we can then begin to understand what God's heart is, what his mind is for us specifically. Us specifically. That's why it's important that we have a relationship with him individually, so he can gear and navigate us toward where we need to go so that we can come into the fullness of what God intended for us originally. As we work backwards to regain what was lost in the garden, God has an original intent for mankind and you personally and how you fit. And so we have to find out what that is, the way God has wired you, what he's put inside of you, so that you can be the piece of the puzzle into the way God wants to move in the earth today. Do you know that you are the piece to someone else's puzzle? When God brings someone into your life or vice versa, you're brought into someone else's life. God is bringing you in for a reason so that you can help complement what's happening in that person's life and oftentimes really bring them up into maturity because of the way your walk is. And so God uses the relationships that we have and the seasons that we have in order to bring maturity and to spur one another on to good works and to help us grow. That's why we embrace community here at this church, because the importance of helping us dig up some unhealthy patterns that are there so that we can start to look at ourselves the way God sees us, and the way God sees us changes the way we live so that we don't do the things that we would normally do in an unhealthy way. That's the importance of being in relationship and being in community. I was talking to my mother-in-law the other day, and this idea of pulling up roots came up, and being involved in community and what that does. There's something about being involved in community with people that helps pull up unhealthy roots that are there, because you're seeing it from a different perspective and you're seeing what God has done in someone else's life, and it makes you want what that person has. Not in a jealous way, but you want freedom. You want joy. You want healthy perspective of who you are, but a healthy idea and of how your value is. And so that's important stuff, and community is important. And so God goes to work to dig up roots so that you can understand that you're worth it. You're worth it. The sacrifice was worth it. You're valued in him. He loves you. He has a plan for your life, and he wants to be intimate with you. Not in a weird way, but so that you understand and know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God knows what's going to bring you satisfaction in your life. Satisfaction. Satisfaction. He's made you a certain way. Number two is this: the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Understanding who God is. There's a scripture in the Bible that talks about casting down imaginations and pulling down things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Sometimes we can get into our heads so much and intellectualize who God is and try to put our head around it and wrap our mind about the vastness of God. But in reality, we cannot do that. God is too big. He's outside the realm even of our mind. And so for us to pull down God to the small limits of our mind, it's impossible for us to do. And so you're going to have to get out of your own way, get out of your head, and know that God is bigger than you are, that his ways are higher than your ways, his thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and understand that in order for us to come to him, we have to come to him in faith. You're not going to be able to intellectualize yourself into a relationship with Christ and keep that going. You're not going to be able to try to figure God out or reason who God is or the existence of God and expect to get any further with him, because the more you try to go back, the harder it is to try to get a finite point of the beginning and end of God, because there is none. He's always been. And so for us to try to wrap our mind around that, it's impossible. You just have to know by faith that God is who he says he is, and that he created the heavens and the earth, and he created you and has a plan and purpose for you. And so in the knowledge of God, that should bring us into a reverence with him. A reverence. Not an unhealthy fear, but a healthy fear of who God is, to know that he created it all, that he holds your very life in his hands, and also he holds your very next breath in his hands. And so you're living by the mercy and grace of God today, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God. And as you come into the knowledge of God, it changes the way you think and the way you live, because you want to please God and you want to do what God has called you to do. God has called you to do. The Bible talks about if we love God, we're going to obey him. We're going to obey him. And so God wants you to obey him. And he goes on and says, to be strengthened, to be strengthened. We need strength. The only way that we're going to be able to effectively live this Christian walk is to walk in his strength. It's impossible for us to do it in our own strength. We can't. We can't. The Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that gives us the ability to walk confidently today. Because by ourselves, left to our own devices, we would self-destruct. Self-destruct. Think about yourself on a bad day and you call yourself a Christian. Think about the absence of the Holy Spirit in your life, what that would do. Because of the frailty, the depravity of the human nature, there's no hope for us. But the Holy Spirit comes in, brings hope back, gives us the ability to see clearly, opens our eyes, opens our ears to hear what he's saying, gives us a new heart, a new nature, so that we can receive the very things of God, being strengthened. Because if we can't get that, we won't make progress. Because in order for us to walk the way God wants us to walk, we're going to have to walk with a new mind, new ears, a new spirit, and have a new nature that's going to be able to us to receive really the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven, and to help us combat our old fleshly habits that we have. We do have those things. The book of Galatians talks about the war of the flesh against the war of the spirit, and those two are constantly in battle with one another so that we don't do the things that we want to do all the time. The spirit is willing. The spirit wants us to do the right thing, but that flesh part of us has to die daily so that the Spirit of God can take control and really give us the necessary things that we need to be fruitful in our life, to be fruitful. We have to. Because our old nature has a way of creeping back up again. Now, that old nature has been dismantled, but you know as well as I do that we still live in this tent of this body, and that we still have to deal with the carnality of our flesh and the things that we want to do. That's why the Bible talks about when you're tempted, no one should say that God is tempting me, because God can't tempt. We are drawn away by our own desires, and then temptation has a way of giving birth to sin, and sin, as a result, gives birth to death, because we are drawn away. It's not that God is drawing us away, but our own self, our own fleshly desires do that. And so the Spirit of God has to come in and help really tame those desires so that they don't consume us and take us out. Take us out. That's what took Adam and Eve out in the garden. And so God's been trying to help us get that back under control ever since. Thank God for Jesus' sacrifice that makes us right, so that if we do sin, we can come before him, confess our sin. He's faithful to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that he did it one time, and that we can constantly come before him. The door is always open because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't have to keep walking in condemnation. We know that we're free. We know that who the Son sets free is free indeed, and that we can walk in the freedom and liberty that God has given us as sons and daughters, talking and communicating with God, confessing our sin, knowing that he sees the blood of his Son, and it makes us righteous and it makes us acceptable. There's no door that's blocked to you today. There's no door. Heaven is open for communication. It's open. Jesus is making intercession for you. You're in a great place positionally with him if you're a Christian today. So don't allow the enemy to tell you that you're not in position with Christ because of what you've done. We've all done things. Our position is our position. Now, the way you live your life now could be a different story. If you're walking around struggling in a course of sin, don't think that God's blessing is going to rest upon your life because of the fact that, well, God will forgive me. God looks at the heart and he knows. Let's not take advantage of God's grace in a negative way. Let's know that God's grace is sufficient. It causes us, the Bible says that his kindness leads us to repentance, and so that we can have a relationship with him that's based upon trust because we want to please him. God knows we're going to fall down. He knows we're going to make mistakes. But he does want us to get control of our flesh so that we can grow up in maturity. That's who God is. Grow up in maturity. Being strengthened. Giving joyful thanks. This is another thing for us. Going from a life of not having gratitude to a life of living with joyful thanks. And what does that look like for you? What does that look like? Being thankful in all circumstances, knowing that this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, so that you can have an understanding of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and it causes us to want to continue to move on in relationship with him because of that sacrifice. We know that it was for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And for us, we know that for the joy that's set before us, not just in heaven, but in this life, that we can endure what we're going through right now because of the benefits that are going to take place on the other side. That's the joy of the Christian walk. When you begin to turn from doubting or complaining to, Lord, I thank you for the circumstances in my life, you immediately jump into another level of maturity, and God looks down and responds in your faith. It does not mean that you necessarily feel like it. I don't feel like praising God in the midst of it, but you know what? I want to do it anyway. And as you do it, what happens is God comes in and intervenes and gives you the strength that you need to stand up underneath anything that you're going through in your life. And you can thank God in the midst of it. And as you do that, you begin to progress quicker. Progress quicker. Tell the Israelites, they missed it. They missed it back in the Old Testament. If they would have thanked God, they probably would have moved into the promised land a little bit quicker. But we have an example today. We have an example. Men and women have gone before us. We've seen their life. Not that they were easy, but the fact that they had a joyful attitude and thanksgiving. Who do you know in your life right now who has a joyful attitude? Their life could be hard. It could be difficult. But they're thanking Jesus in the midst of it because of the blessing that they have. Have you taken a look at your life and thank God for the blessings that you have right now? And has that changed your perspective? Because I believe if we can see the blessings that are in our life, it would change our perspective so that we can walk in joyful thanksgiving. Doesn't mean that it's easy. It's hard sometimes. It's difficult, but you can thank God in the midst of it, and that shows your maturity and that you're growing. That's what God is looking for. That's what he's looking for. God wants to bless you because of your attitude. Your attitude. Sometimes we think, well, God's just going to bless me. Yeah, daily he loads us with benefits. We get things every single day. But I believe God wants to bring us into the fullness of what he has for us. And a lot of times it depends on our attitude and how quick we get there. So joyful thanks. Man, that's like a sick mindset. You're thanking God for hardship and suffering. You know what? I am thanking God for hardship and suffering because it's producing something in me that is not produced any other way. It's producing character in me. It's helping me become more and more like him. I'm realizing the value of why Jesus died and the treasure that I have inside of me. The Bible says that this treasure that we have in jars of clay. We're realizing that the power that we live, we don't live by our own self right now. We live by the faith that we have in the Son of God because he gave his life for us. We live that way now. We're getting to understand more of what the joy of the Lord is and how it is our strength. And so I can thank God in the midst of this because God is changing the way I think. And in turn, I'm living a totally different way and starting to experience the goodness of God and the fullness of God because of what he's done. The kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of this world. And we got to break into that kingdom mindset. In order for us to break into that kingdom mindset, God has to break it into our life and break stuff up that is contrary to that kingdom. And as he begins to break stuff up that's contrary to the kingdom, the Spirit of God comes in, infuses us with the strength that we need to bear fruit in every good season, to change, to endure, so that we can become more and more the way he designed us to become, walking like a son and daughter of a king. And so that is completely renovated as you allow God to come in and break up stuff in your life. Look at your life now as compared to maybe the way it was, and how God has come in and broken up some stuff, turned your life around, helped you think differently so that you can believe differently and in turn receive differently. You're receiving on a different level right now. Today, you're eating on a different level. You're eating on a different plane when it comes to spirituality. And so, where are you at in that journey? How's your diet spiritually today? How's your diet? Are you growing in the knowledge of God's will and what he has for you? Are you growing in the knowledge of who he is? Okay? Are you understanding what his heart is for you? Are you beginning to see more and more God's design for you? Do you feel like there's more strength that's rising up in your life every single day in order to do what God has called you to do? And it's pushing you on, and you're growing in confidence. Lastly today is this, is that you're qualified. You're qualified. He says that he's qualified you to share in the inheritance. You're qualified. Well, what does that mean? I haven't done enough. Exactly. It's not about you doing enough. It's about what Jesus has done, and his sacrifice is sufficient enough. It's enough. And as a result of that, he has made you sufficient in order to experience the kingdom of God. He's made you. And that's good news today, because of where a lot of you have come from. Broken homes, hardships, devastating circumstances and situations, stories that will probably blow our minds. But thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Jesus Christ, so that we can actually see the goodness of God and the victory that God has for us, and that we're qualified. Can you imagine if we walked around, and some of us do this, where we feel like we're unworthy, that we can't experience or receive what God has for us, and if we walk around, we feel like we're not worthy of it. What a horrible life. Horrible life. And a lot of people live that way because of their situation. But your circumstances don't define you. They don't. What Jesus has done is sufficient in your life. He's made you right. He's qualified you to receive. He's qualified you to be. He's qualified you to do. You are capable today because of who Jesus is. He made up the difference. He knew you weren't going to make it. He knew it. He knew you were going to fall short. And so he said, I'm going to take care of that. He knows you're going to continually fall short, but I'm going to make up the difference. That's encouragement for you today to keep going, because as you give your best, even though our best sometimes is not enough, he comes in and takes it and closes the gap and says, okay, it's enough. His grace is sufficient. He is all sufficient. He is El Shaddai, the multi-breasted one. What he has is sufficient for you. And coming into the knowledge of that will help benefit you in this walk, to know that I have a God who's able to supply all my needs through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And if I could just break through some of the stuff in my life and begin to receive from God's pipeline, I'll begin to find the strength that I need to walk in God's will, to grow in his knowledge, to be strengthened, to walk joyfully, to know that in all this, I'm qualified. Can you believe it? I'm qualified to receive this stuff, because where I came from, crazy old me, yes, you. And that's exciting today. You have a God who loves you and said, I have given you as a gift salvation, eternity. It's a gift. You can't buy that today. You can't. Just because I love you, I died for you and gave you an opportunity to live forever with me. That's just the beginning of it. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? He said, off the bat, we're going to take the limits off your mind, and all of a sudden you're going to realize, number one, that this isn't about you, that it's about me and what I have. I have an eternal plan and purpose, and I knew you from the beginning. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. I created you. I understand you. Before I put you together, I knit you in the secret places. And so I've got something specific for you, not just here, but for eternity. Yeah, that's right. I'm doing something here, but I'm also doing something for eternity. And this is nothing. Time is short here, but for eternity, it's going to last forever and ever and ever. We're going to have a time together. And I qualified you for that. So don't allow someone else to say that, well, you're not good enough, you're not qualified. You are qualified. Everyone is on that same plane. Everyone is in need of a Savior. He said, for whosoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so it doesn't matter if you have it all right now or you feel like you don't have enough right now when it comes to material things. He says, listen, I've qualified you to receive. You're a son, you're a daughter, all the benefits I confer upon you today, starting with salvation. And so come to me, talk to me. I've got something eternal for you. Change your eyes off your circumstances here. Put them on eternity to know that we got some stuff to do. Stuff. Eternal things. So I want you to bear fruit spiritually. Bearing fruit. Fruit that's going to remain. In the long run, that's going to matter. Because in the end, it's going to be me and you and the rest of the saints that God calls to be with us for eternity. Praising God. And moving into finally the ultimate purpose that God has for us. This is temple. Life is short. It's temporary. It's fleeting. We're growing. Yes, we're learning here. We're understanding what it means to reign so that eventually we'll be able to reign in eternity with Him. God's got something specific for you, not just here, but for eternity. Now I pray today that you would be encouraged by that. And as we go into the next several weeks, that you allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to you, give you revelation, knowledge of who He is, so that you can understand God's love for you and His plan and purpose. Today was an introduction, but as we go over the next several weeks, I know God's going to do great things if you let Him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your grace today that is sufficient. You died to give us eternal life, forgiveness of sins. Thank you that you just gave it out because of the sacrifice of your Son. Where would we be without the sacrifice? And today, we thank you that it's sufficient. That we don't have to wonder whether or not we're worthy today. We are worthy. We're adequate. We're qualified. Thank you for making up the difference. Thank you for bringing us close to you, showing us your love for us. And I pray today that people would feel your love, feel encouraged to know that you're with them, to know that, yes, eternity is our eventual destination. But in the meantime, that you're able to walk with us, give us the strength that we need to overcome, and do it in a joyful way as we grow in the knowledge of who you are and the knowledge of your will for us. In Jesus' name, amen. See you guys next week.